Sunday morning, the 19th of February, 2012, and we're at a meeting here at the Weatherby House Church, the home front, and it's been an unusual week, a very busy week here, a lot going on. Does someone have a selection? Number 186. Was that like to sing? 186? 186.
Come, O Jesus, to them forgiveness
led.
Take courage and fight valiantly,
stand fast with sword in hand.
Our captive has gone before us,
our Father's Holy Son.
The pilgrims
dear,
pray
do not fear,
but let us follow on.
We have a heavenly wilderness
to Canaan's happy shore,
a land of dirt and tents and snares,
where chilling winds do roar.
But Jesus will be with us
and guard us on the way.
No enemies examine
us,
he'll teach us what to say.
Sweet rivers of salvation
all through Canaan's
land and roar.
The beams of daybreak
wintering sea
illuminate the soul.
I see
red clouds of glory
above the fields of white,
and gentle gales
that bear my soul
to Jesus my delight.
Sovereign still, and thou a faithful God,
Wilt thou not grant me order's heel to run that heavenly road from rocks that bright on either hand, from quicksands of despair? Oh, guide me safe on Canaan's land through every latent snare. Anchor me in that port above on that celestial shore, where dashing billows never move, where tempests never roar.
Page 95.
Day is dying in the west, heaven is touching breathless rest. Late in worship while the night sets her evening lamps alight through all the sky. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thee, heaven and earth are praising thee, O Lord Most High. Lord of life beneath the dome of the universe thy home, gather us to seek our face to the fall of thy grace, for thou art nigh. While the evening shadows fall, heart of love and holy home, through the glory and the grace of the stars that veil thy face, our hearts ascend. When forever from our sight, past the stars, the day and night, glory of angels on our eyes, let eternal morning rise and shadows end. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thee, heaven and earth are praising thee, O Lord Most High.
286.
286.
40 desert.
40 desert.
Yeah. We like it today.
Do you?
Yeah.
Dark and 40 is the desert through which pilgrims make their way. But beyond this veil of sorrows lie the fields of endless day. Winds are howling through the desert, they can tremble as they go, and the fiery darts of Satan often bring their courage low. No, your soldiers, are you weary of the troubles on the way? Does your strength begin to fail and your vigor to decay? Jesus, Jesus will go with you. He will lead you to his throne. He who dyed his garments for you and the white cross trod alone. He whose thunder shakes creation. He who gives the planets roll. He who rides upon the tempest and his scepter sways the whole. Round him march 10,000 angels, ready to obey the man. They are always hovering round you till you reach the heavenly land. There are flowery hills of pleasure in the fields of endless rest. Love and joy and peace shall ever reign in triumph in your breast. Who could paint the scenes of glory where the ransomed dwell on high, where the golden hearts forever sound redemption through the sky? Oh, the crowns, how bright they sparkle, such as monarchs never wear. They are gone to heavenly pastures, Jesus is their shepherd there. Hail, ye happy, happy spirits, to the whistle plain. Glory, honor, and salvation, reign, sweet shepherd, ever reign.
Well, this next song, 403, believe it or not, some people don't like this song, and I've never understood why, but I've always liked it, so I guess we'll sing it.
Tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder, why it should be thus all day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong, farther along we'll know all about it, farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Faithful till death, said our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it, farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine, we'll understand it all by and by.
Well, why don't we sing one more before we change over to the how about 215? It's a similar song to the one we just sang, but did we sing that?
Yeah, we already sang that.
Did we?
Yeah.
I thought we sang Thorny Desert.
We sing this too. I remember singing this. Yes, I do. Yes,
okay.
we did. 265.
265. Okay.
Baptism.
Christians, if your hearts are warm, ice and snow can do no harm. If by Jesus you are Christ, Christ, believe and be baptized. Jesus drank the gall for you, pour the curse for sinners due. Children, prove your love to him. Never fear the frozen stream. Never shun the Savior's cross. On earth is worthless dross. If the Savior's love you feel, let the world behold your zeal. Every season of the year, let your worship be sincere. When the storms revenge your wrong, serve your gracious Lord at home. Read his sacred word by day, ever watching, always pray. Meditate his law by night, this will give you great delight.
Dear Lord, we pray you would be with us in the service. Pray that you would help us to realize that your word stands forever and that we can depend upon it, even though things around us may seem to be crumbling. Your word is a sure foundation. We pray that you would open it to us and direct our minds and our hearts toward you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Probably one of the most comforting books in the Bible, the entire Bible, is the book of Isaiah. Even though Isaiah the prophet has a lot of warnings and a lot of exhortations and admonitions for God's people, he also gives God's people a lot of comfort in it. And we've talked about a lot of the different chapters in Isaiah, you know, including the chapter, comfort ye, my people. But today, we're going to look at a different chapter than we've ever looked at. Probably one of the most popular chapters, of course, in Isaiah is the 53rd chapter. It tells of the sufferings of Christ, and it tells of the messianic prophecies of the coming of Christ to bear the sins of his people. But in the following chapter, where we're going to look today, the 54th chapter, this is also a great chapter giving God's people his assurance. This assurance is coming from the prophet Isaiah, from God himself. And, you know, we want to know about our assurance of our faith. We want to have continual comfort of the assurance of our faith. And this actually is addressed to the Gentiles, comfort of the Gentiles, but yet we know that God's church is all people, all nations, all tongues, his elect prize, all of those people on the face of the earth. He says in the first verse, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." Here he's referring to the Gentiles, the children of the desolate, married wife, of course, being the Jews. "Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stays." You know, a lot of people say, well, the Jews are God's chosen people. Well, some of the Jews are God's chosen people, and some of the Gentiles are God's chosen people. And here we see in the third verse, he says, "For thou shalt break forth," in other words, spread abroad, "thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited." Now, if we look at that from a spiritual context, we can see that this light that's coming forth to the Gentiles is the light of Jesus Christ. This is the application of salvation that is made available to God's elect Gentiles. "Fear not, but thou shalt not be ashamed, neither shalt thou be confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood anymore." What is he talking about here when he talks about widowhood? Well, we know that the Gentiles were not, as for the most part in the Old Testament, were not God's elect. but God has chosen in the dispensation of time to bring the light unto the Gentiles. For thy Maker is thy husband. For God's elect Gentiles, their Maker is their husband. Who's their Maker? Well, who is their Creator? Their Creator is Jesus Christ. Colossians says, by Him all things were created. Well, here it is referring to the Creator as their husband. The Lord of hosts is His name. And thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall He be called. There are many references in the Old Testament to other gods, and comparing all of these pagan nations to the one God of Israel, and how many of these pagan nations saw the power of God, and they would come to the Israelites and say, your God has more power than our God. Your God is the supreme power of all the earth. That is what Isaiah is referring to in this verse when he says, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall He be called Jesus Christ. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman, or as a wife, forsaken and grieved in spirit, wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. What a promise. Now we know that in the New Testament it talks about that the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and that God is going to graft back into the church some of the Jewish remnant. But here Isaiah is talking about an earlier period when the Gentiles will be gathered together, the Gentiles elect shall be gathered, with great mercies, he says in verse 7, will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer. We talked about the fact that there's not one elect person, that has not been given everlasting kindness. Now that is that is in conflict to the Arminian doctrine. I'm going to repeat that again. There is not one elect person who's ever lived on the face of the earth from time, from the beginning of the world to the end of the world, that has not had everlasting kindness showered on them by their Heavenly Father. He says, "I with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord thy Redeemer." God Himself, through the prophet Isaiah, declares this. And then He gives the example of Noah. Now we know that He put the rainbow in the clouds, and He gave a promise to Noah not to ever destroy the entire world again by a flood. And He says in verse 9, "For this is as of the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee." In other words, He's saying to all of His elect, He is not going to forsake them eternally. He's giving them the promise here. And He goes on with it and further declares in verse 10, "The mountains shall depart and the hills shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee." Who's He talking to? He's talking here to the elect Jew and Gentile. "Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee." So there are those that are talking about the fact that the person who is saved can be lost forever. They are denying the Word of God. And they're denying God's very Word Himself here. The mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from me. Neither shall thy covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on me. What a promise. I'm glad that we can stand on the promises of God. I'm glad that God Himself has told us that He is not going to cast us off. O thou afflicted and tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors, and lay thy foundation with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. Now, look at the inclusive language in the 13th verse. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. That's pretty inclusive language. It's speaking there again of God's elect. In righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come unto thee. A few years ago, George Bush talked about the war on terror. He was trying to terrorize everybody and instill fear in people. Jesus, through the prophet Isaiah, says here, for God's elect, that we will not be full of fear, and we will not have terror. We won't come near to God's elect. In other words, our hearts will be at peace with our Maker. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall be gathered together against thee shall fall for thy sake. You know, there are many passages of Scripture that give God's people comfort in knowing that God is going to protect them against other people. And here He says they're going to fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, that bringeth forth the instrument for his work, and I have created the waster destroyed. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now we've heard that scripture a lot by the health and wealth and name it and claim it people. They love this particular scripture, but the problem is they are in denial of so much of the Bible that it makes the scripture not applicable to them. My question to us this morning is: this scripture applicable to us? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Now, there's been a lot of weapons in the military, new kinds of weapons out there, these drones that they sit behind a laptop computer hundreds if not thousands of miles away and send these drones and attack different cities. Here it says no weapons. That means any kind of weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We have seen the intervention and the defense of God for us and our family on so many occasions where people would try to come against us. And it says here, every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. There's been a lot of condemning tongues against Weatherby House Church. There's been a lot of condemning tongues against the doctrine of election. There's been a lot of condemning tongues against the covenant of eternal salvation. There's been a lot of condemning tongues against the doctrine of predestination and election and preservation. There's been a lot of condemning tongues against the doctrine of total depravity and the doctrine of original sin. There's been a lot of condemning tongues against particular redemption. But it says here that every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me. We've talked about the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's not of our own works, lest any man should boast. It's not of free will. It's not of anything. We were listening to some of the old camp meeting songs the other day, and my wife commented how that so many of them are I-centered. In other words, I did this, I did that. When I did this, this happened. No. They've got it backwards. Righteousness, you know, it's really what it is. It's a denial of the total depravity of man. It denies that man is dead spiritually, and that they can... There's so many Arminian songs out there that talk about, when I did this, God did this. Well, to start with, a dead person can't do anything. And here he says, their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. If we have any righteousness at all, it's only because of what Christ has done. It's called the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the problem with the Catholic Church. They try to deny this, but they actually believe in work salvation. That when they do enough good works, then that will make them righteous. God will see their works as righteous and honor their works. Well, here he says, Isaiah, the heritage of the servants of the Lord, their righteousness of me. That's the heritage. We have the inherited righteousness of Jesus Christ, the imputed righteousness. And so what many people don't want to deal with is the reality that apart from, you know, what happened in the prior chapter, the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, where it says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquity, all we like sheep have gone astray, we turned everyone to his own way, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has made his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prosper his days. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper his hands. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many? For he shall bear their iniquities. He shall bear their iniquities. Well, again, we have a fivefold promise in the 54th chapter of Isaiah. What is the first promise? Well, the first promise is that Jesus Christ is our husband, verse 5. And verse 6, it says that he has called thee as a woman. In other words, we are his bride. He's our husband, and we are his bride. And third promise we have, that he will not remove his covenant from us, verse 10. Again, comparing Noah's covenant to the everlasting covenant to his elect. And then he talks about that fourth thing is in verse 14 that our righteousness is established in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and we will not have to be fearful over our status, our assurance of our righteousness, which is founded in Jesus Christ himself. And then finally, fifth promise is that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. Regardless of what people try to do to us or say about us or come against us, it's not going to work. And the reason it's not going to work is because we have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this chapter is a very, very powerful chapter. It gives us great, great assurance of our faith. Now, finally, I want to look in the 46th Psalm. 46th Psalm. And he says, this again is the assurance of our faith, the confidence that we have in God. God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and he shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right away early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. See, do you see the distinguishing characteristic between the relationship of God to his people and the rest of the people? Behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He makes wars to cease in the name of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots of fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. But then the concluding verse says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So, the message this morning is that of assurance of what God has said he's going to do for his people. And we can take it to the bank, so to speak. Do we have a selection? 99C. Rosetta selected Psalm 99.
That's a good psalm.
Psalm 99?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like all the psalms, don't you?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Psalm 99C.
I like this as the one in particular, though, too.
Do you?
Yeah. Because God used the Lord.
That's good.
The Lord is King in me. Let peoples quail and fear. He sits above the cherubim. Let earth be moved. The Lord is Zion rules, and over all is high. Oh, praise his great and dreadful name, the Holy One. The power of the King delights in equity. In Jacob you establish law and righteousness. Exalt and celebrate the Lord who is our God. And at his footstool worship him, the Holy One. For Moses was his priest, and Aaron to discern, and Samuel of them who called upon his name. The Lord received their cry, he spoke from out the cloud. His testimonies they obeyed, they kept his laws. O Lord our God, you heard, an answer gave to them. You were a God that bore them up, but judged their words. Exalt the Lord our God, bow to his holy hill. Behold, he is the Holy One, the Lord our God.
Dear Lord, be with us today when we go to eat. At Sunday, today, at worship service today, We praise your name and glorify you in every work you establish in our lives. Exalt you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.